God, we're just ready and open to what you want to say and how you want to change our hearts this morning. Father, whatever I've come into this service with and whatever I need for this week going from here, would you minister to my heart? Would you minister to each person's heart for what we need? God, would you make this word personal to each of us? Illuminate your truth in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, as we kick off this church year, there's a lot going on, like I said, and we're kind of kicking things off. I wanted to talk about legacy, and I wanted to talk about why the local church, and I want to talk about why it is that we are here as a body of believers, and why it is that we do what we do. And I think it's important for us to understand this, and I think that a lot of what I'm going to say today is not going to be new to you. You may have heard it before. But I really think a call to memory is really key. It's really important, right? And so we want to have this at the forefront of our mind as we go into this season. I believe it's a season of building in so many different ways. And so we want to have this at the forefront. We need to understand why we're here and why we do what we do. And so first of all, the local church is a platoon in God's army. It's a platoon in God's army. We are not the only church in God's army, right? We know that. There's many amazing churches, many churches that follow orthodoxy and the Apostles' Creed and all of that, Bible-believing churches, right? And so all churches together in that way are God's army. But we are a platoon. We are a unit in God's army. Amen? Right? And so we have a mission. We are not the only church, we are not the only platoon, but we are a platoon and we do have a very important mission and an important role to play. And so I want us to understand that, that God has a specific mission for us as a church, I believe, for this community and the surrounding area. He has a very specific mission, and I think we need to understand that, and I think we need to realize the importance of fulfilling that calling, right? So we're just one part, but like an army needs all of its platoons to do its job, right? And to fulfill its part in the same way, we are a church. We are a platoon that needs to fulfill our mission. I want us to see that local church isn't a building, right? We've talked about that already. Local church is more than a service we attend on Sunday. It's more than coming here and fulfilling an obligation to sit through a service once a week. It's a platoon, right? It's we're on a mission. That's what I want us to see and hear. We're on a mission. We're going somewhere. And God is at the steering wheel, and he's the one leading. He's the chief shepherd. He's the one that we look to for guidance, right? It's not me, by the way, that leads this church. It's God. And so I really want us to see that we're on a mission. We're going somewhere, and we can't stop just at warming a chair, right? And maybe fulfilling an obligation to come to a service weekly. Another way to say it is God is our commander in chief. I like that with the army illustration, right? So we want to commit and we want to invest in this mission with our lives. And so what is the mission? Well, we know the mission is to make disciples. The mission is to make disciples. I'm going to read Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20, and I know this is such a familiar passage that sometimes we read it quick and it doesn't even hit our hearts anymore. At least sometimes that can be a danger for me, is that it's so familiar. But I want us to read this with this heart. God, help me understand and embrace this in a fresh way today. Right? So we're going to read this, and I want that to be our prayer. Help me to understand and embrace this. Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. So he's our commander in chief, right? He has all authority. Therefore, go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So this is why we are here, right? The calling is to make disciples. You know, we can make our life goals about all kinds of things, right? We've all probably done that. And we know there's a little bit of a tension in that, right? That what is our life goal? What is it that we live for each day, day in and day out? What is it? And I think we can have goals in life, absolutely, but the overarching goal of all of that should be to make disciples. This commission that Jesus gives us after the resurrection should shape every other goal and every other part of our life. This is what we're called to make disciples, baptizing them and teaching them the ways of Jesus. So we want to first of all be faithful disciples, right? But also to make disciples, it's this two-part thing. We are discipled and we make disciples all at the same time. Like I said, that journey never stops, right? And I think in our society today, and I know you see it too, things are moving faster and faster and faster, right? You look at the political front, you look at the moral front, you look at all that's going on in the world, and it's kind of this funnel approach. It's going faster and faster and faster. And I say that to say that more than ever, this commission is so important, that we focus on it, that we don't lose sight of it, that we see it as our commission and we make it personal. We make it personal to us. The days we're in should move us to respond to God's call. Right? Should move us. And I believe, like I said, we are a local church and we are a vessel to make disciples. And so this should cause some urgency in our hearts and a sense of responsibility. This should be personal, like I said, right? And to some of us, maybe it's we're carrying too much of the responsibility or too much of the urgency. And there may be some in the room that you see this and it actually even sparks anxiety. And to you, I want to remind you, I want to say, well, remember that He is God, right? Be still and know that He is God. Like Jesus said in His commission, that He will always be sure of this. I am with you always to the end of the age. So we take responsibility, but we don't carry it on our own, right? We have a part to play, but ultimately Jesus is the one that leads and empowers and everything. Maybe some of us, we don't have enough urgency, or we haven't taken up enough responsibility, or we don't see it at the forefront of our lives. And to us, to you, I would say, let's realign ourselves with the real reason that we're here, right? To be commissioned to make disciples. And this could look a lot of different ways, right? This could look like walking with someone in life. Someone in your workplace, someone in your family, someone who you kind of invite into your life and they see Jesus through you in a very tangible and personal way. It can look like that, and often it does, right? Or it could look like inviting them to church and inviting them to be part of the discipleship that happens here and all the different things that we are doing as a church. There's a lot of different ways that we can engage in making disciples, but I want us to see that we are a unit with a purpose. We're going somewhere, right? Church is so much more than a building. It's so much more than a service. We have a mission. And I want to point out that we should work toward this mission together. You know, we are a unit functioning together to fulfill our purpose. The word church in Greek is actually ecclesia, and it literally means the called out ones, or a gathering of those called out. And in ancient Greece, this word ecclesia was used to refer to an assembly or a gathering of people for a specific purpose. And so this is, Christians way back when adopted this term church, because it was, they knew that they were called out of living like the world, right? And they were called to gather together with a specific purpose. And that purpose, of course, was to make disciples. And so together for a specific purpose. And I love the illustration of a symphony, right? Have you ever been to the symphony? Not very many of you. Okay, that's fine. I have been, and it's beautiful. Maybe you've at least experienced it or seen it in some way, but it's this whole room full of instruments coming together, playing the same song, right? Playing notes and harmonies that all complement each other to make this beautiful song together, right? And that's a beautiful picture of what the church should look like, right? So many of us with different giftings and abilities and journeys, it's like all of us carrying different instruments to be used by God to make a beautiful melody together. A melody of fruitfulness for God's kingdom, right? And I think sometimes we lose that, and I think even in the Western church, we've lost that to some degree because we're a pretty individualistic culture. This idea of together is actually becoming counterculture in a lot of different ways. I think our culture is all about personal goals, right? And independence and self-reliance and self-sufficiency and privacy, right? That's kind of our culture. That's the direction it's going. And I think with that comes a disconnection. And we might have all kinds of reasons to disconnect, right? We can kind of blame it on culture, but it boils down to different reasons we might have disconnected. Maybe we got hurt, or maybe things just weren't going the way that we thought they would. We can have all kinds of different reasons, right? But we can't remove togetherness from the church. We can't remove togetherness from the church. There's no mention in Scripture of doing life alone. If you look at the Word of God, it's filled with images of togetherness in the church. You look at the way that the church is described as the flock of God, right? You can't be a flock by yourself. You are in with other sheep in a flock, right? And so we are together. A holy nation, right? A nation of people. Again, of course, not just one. Vine and branches. We are not on our own. We are connected to the vine and therefore connected to each other. We are the family of God. That's what the Bible says, referring to the church. We are not orphans, but listen, we can't do family alone. We can't be a family by ourselves, right? It's kind of obvious, but we need to see this image of the church as being together. Being together. And of course, the church is referred to as a body. As a body. What's more together than a body, right? If you look at Romans 12, verse 4 to 5, for just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. You can't have church alone, right? That's what that says. We can't have church alone. Yes, if we are a Christian, we are an individual with the Spirit of God dwelling inside of us, but verse 5 makes it clear, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, right? And each member belongs to each other. If I could just highlight we belong to each other for a second, think about that. We belong to each other. Like if you think about a body, all of the parts belong to each other. My hand belongs to my wrist, and that belongs to my arm and my shoulder, and on, right? It belongs to each other when you think about the connectedness of a body. You think about the illustration that Paul is using. It's powerful because it's talking about this connectedness and working together to fulfill this mission, this calling. Just like all the parts of our body work together to fulfill our calling, right? I think Paul knows the danger of individualism. And I think this is a warning against individualism, right? It's a warning against this because if a symphony doesn't function together, it's chaos. Picture a symphony for a second, and they're all playing their own song or playing their own notes and adding random things to the melody. I mean, that wouldn't work, right? It would be chaos. And so we need to function together in alignment. In alignment. That's something we talk about a lot. We need to be aligned together. If a body doesn't function together, it's chaos, right? Can't be an eye that says to the rest of the body, I don't need the body. That would make you a monster, right? If you were just an eye bouncing around through life. I like that. We can't fulfill the mission alone, right? We need the synergy. We need the encouragement. We need the accountability. We need all that for the mission. I look at my own life, and I know I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for togetherness. If it wasn't for people that came alongside me along the way and saw the good in me and saw the potential in me and encouraged me and saw the giftings and way beyond anything I would have ever seen or thought. But that isn't that a beautiful part of it? We call that out of each other. And we need that, right? We need that encouragement, right? Otherwise, again, we just can't fulfill the mission. We're called to be this connected body. Acts 2, verse 42 to 47, another beautiful example of functioning in togetherness, the early church. In verse 42, Acts 2, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. He added to their number daily. Like, what I want to say with this is that church is not this abstract idea. It's not an abstract thing. You know, maybe we've heard people say, well, I'm part of the church, but the greater church, but I'm not connected to a local church. I think we can see in this example, it's very clear, right, that there was a togetherness, there was a local church, it was real people functioning together to make disciples. The Lord was adding to their number daily, right? And so we need to see this, we need to see this need for togetherness in the local church. Another thing, it's amazing, the Bible also talks about together we are God's temple. Together, we're God's temple. Look at 1 Peter 2, verse 4 and 5. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house. To be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. What I see is that I am a stone, and that you are all stones as well. And together, we actually, as we're connected, we build a temple for God to inhabit. Isn't that amazing? Like, yes, we are an individual. And yes, we are each the temple of the Lord. But we need to see there's another layer to this too. This thought, right? That together, as these stones, we are each stones. As we come together, we become this temple, this inhabitation of the Lord. This habitation of the Lord. And so we are living stones. And I really believe that we need to catch this, that we can't be, we can't fulfill this calling of being the temple. We can't fulfill that fully without each other. 1 Corinthians 3:16 speaks to this as well. It says, "Don't you realize that all of you together are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God lives in you?" It's a profound thought, right? It's a profound thought that we actually can't fulfill the calling to be the temple of the Lord on our own completely. Ephesians 2:22, "And in him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit." So as we live in him, right? As we live according to his word, we are God's habitation together. I think it's so powerful when we see that, right? When we see our giftings and our journeys come together, you know, and to be released into that is so, so powerful. So I want to remind us, church is so much more than an abstract idea. It's more than a building. It's more than a service we attend, right? And we need to realize this and see the importance of what we do. See the importance of this, right? It's so critical, right? We are the vessel that God has chosen to make disciples. You know, I think about our dream as a church. I believe it should be to see an audience become an army. To see an audience become an army, to see an entire church and an entire community come alive to God and come alive to his kingdom, and then help others come alive to God and come alive to his kingdom as well. That's our dream. That's what we want, right? We want to see this become real. We want to see this truth become real in each of our hearts. And I think about the next generation. I think about the next generation. I mean, my heart just breaks for the next generation. My heart just has this burning desire to see the next generation come alive to God, be on fire for God. And you know, when I preach this message, one of the things that's in the back of my mind is it's about the next generation. The reason we need to catch this, the reason we need to see the importance of this, is because if we don't have a focus as a church on the next generation and discipling them, how will this church continue? How will the church continue? How will discipleship continue? TikTok isn't gonna disciple people. Social media and other things aren't gonna disciple people. We are going to disciple people. That's our calling. And I just so desperately want to see God move in a powerful way. And I think we as a church, we need to understand this, right? We need to have a specific focus on the next generation. Those young sheep who haven't been fed as long as we have. It's got to be a focus, right? It's got to be a focus. We got to put emphasis on that and value on meeting the next generation where they're at, and without compromising the truth whatsoever, we bring them the gospel of Jesus Christ in ways that are relevant to them. It's part of the calling, right? And so we've got to catch this. I love Psalm 78 verse 4. It says, "We will not hide these truths from our children." There's different ways to hide truths, right? We could literally hide them, or we could just not share them. But both are hiding, right? "We will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about his power and his mighty wonders." I want to remind us today that the reason that the church is where it is right now, the reason why we can sit here like this and know the truths and all of that and do this, is because someone else in a previous generation invested in this generation. We are here because of someone else, right? And so we need to remember that as we talk about discipleship. This is such a critical thing. It's such a critical thing to pass this on. Need to be ready to invest in the next generation. Investing in them, right? Believing in them, encouraging them, making room for them. And if I can even say this, even when it means giving up our own preferences to make room, that's part of it, right? It's part of it. I'm so grateful when I think about, you know, you've probably heard this this saying, it takes a village to raise a child. I think it takes a church to raise a child. I think that would be more accurate. And I'm so grateful when I think about the Grow teachers that are teaching our kids right now. I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful, because that's part of discipleship. That's part of it, right? And so in the next generation, we want to see this importance as a church. This has to be a focus. Come alive to God and his kingdom. That's our mission statement. You probably saw it when you came in above the cafe. I want to just take some time as I kind of close this morning. I want to take some time and just explain this mission statement with a little bit of a list of things that this means. These thoughts behind, what does it mean to come alive to God? You know, as we start this year and as we as we look forward as a church, in order for us to adopt this as our mission statement, and what I mean by adopt, and it's not that it's new, it's just that we got to take it to heart, we got to make it personal. And so I want to explain that so that we can do that more. To come alive to God, it means to experience His grace and salvation. To taste and see that the Lord is good. To meet Jesus personally, right? He stands at the door and He knocks and He wants to have supper, right, with us. And that is such a personal thing. To know Him and be encountered by Him. To experience His presence through prayer and worship. To be embraced by the Father's love. To know how much I am loved. To experience His healing and restoration that brings freedom. To experience His transforming grace where we're changed by Him. To experience His empowerment and filling. To see His word come alive to my heart and to hear His voice. We want to be a church that hears His voice because He still speaks, amen? He does. To walk with Him and abide in Him. To be convicted and moved by Him and let Him create a tender heart in us. To see godliness and holiness in our lives. To see Him as a functional Lord and not a figurehead. And what we mean by that is that we are living submitted lives. Because Lord actually means ruler and king, right? It means that He is the one that calls the shots. And so we don't just say, Lord, Lord. We don't just say it as a figurehead. He is more than just a figurehead in our lives. He is functional Lord, meaning He is actively calling the shots in our life day to day. And to come alive to His kingdom, this is what we want for all of us, right? And for our community, to come alive to His kingdom, it means to live a life of purpose, to live life beyond ourselves, right? To understand our call to be the salt and the light. If we don't have salt and light, what do we have, right? It's what the world needs. To serve others and minister to others, to be compelled by His love to make a difference. We're compelled by love. It's love that drives us, right? To partner with others in unity through the local church and churches. To give generously of ourselves and our resources, to step out in faith and obedience, even beyond our comfort zone sometimes, right? And by the way, I've seen many of you do that. I want to encourage you in that. It's awesome. To respond to God's calling and mission, and to be influenced by eternity. We have this eternal perspective, and it shapes what we do here, because we know it's just a little dot in the picture of eternity, right? So as a local church, we are a platoon in the army of God with this mission of making disciples together. And I want to tell you personally, each of you, that God is calling you to be part of the platoon. I really believe that. I don't know where you're at. I don't know how plugged in you are. I don't know if you feel disconnected or anything from the church or from the local church, but I want to encourage you. I believe this message is for each of us, that we are called to get plugged in. We're called to be part of this unit so that we can fulfill this mission together. Right? So be encouraged in that. Amen? Stand with me as I close in prayer. God, we just see it as a privilege to be part of this platoon. It's amazing, Lord, that You want to work with us, that You want to use us. I just think about the brokenness in my own life and the different things I see, and I know many of us probably feel this way, God. We're broken vessels. We feel like we have so many hang-ups and so many things that hold us back from being effective, and yet You say You want to use us. And so this morning, we just choose to respond in faith and in obedience. God, if my heart has been misaligned from your mission, God, I ask that you would come and realign it. And I just want to invite each of you just to respond to this message right now by saying that, by praying that. If that's you, just pray, God, realign my heart with your mission. Realign my heart. If you want to respond, say, Father, I ask you to help me to do my part. Help me to do my part. Help me to invest my time and my resources and however you want me to invest in this mission. God, help me. Show me. I'm open to what you want to do. And I know that will at least partially involve the next generation. So help me, God, to see how you want me to invest in the next generation. Father, we see this as our calling. And so we want to embrace it. God, would you bless your people? Father, I pray a blessing on each person as we go from here. I pray that this word would just ring true in our hearts, and I pray that it would be something you remind us of this week often. And Father, if there's someone in the room that just needs to take the time to respond, I pray that you would just give them what they need, the insight that they need, the revelation of you that they need. Bless your church. In Jesus' name, amen.